presence of the Lord today. Amen. Amen. And thank you, church family. Thank you, Pastor and Sister Linda, for making this a place where anyone can come in and experience the presence of the Lord. And of course, every good and perfect gift comes from above. It's an honor to be here. Why don't you be seated just a moment? I want to say a couple things and then we'll try to get quickly into the Word. But I do want to say that as far as your pastor and his family and this congregation, we are so thankful because God is allowing you to impact the world, impact this community. And I know Pastor says it all the time, but the best really is yet to come. Amen. There's just no limit. There's just no limit. And I want to honor you for that. I know it sounds unique when we're family, but honestly, you have family members you don't even get along with. We don't need to talk about it, but I'm just saying that, you know, I tell you that I honor and thank God for my brother and sister-in-law and the way they live for God, the way they work for God, and the way they serve the Lord. It's an example you can follow. And then these leaders and others that have joined together in unity and the demonstration of your faith and reaching into other parts of this community and the world. And if you're a guest here today, boy, you found a great church. And God's going to bless you here. God's going to bless you here. Amen. Just for my benefit, we have a saying around here, if you don't have a church home, welcome home. Bienvenido a su casa. Bienvenido a la presencia de Dios. Y feliz cumpleaños, mi mami. I said, happy birthday, mom. I cannot imagine the last time we were in church on my mother's birthday together, possibly in the womb. Might have been the last time. I don't need you to think about that, but why'd you say it? We were so poor, we had to share a womb. How many have heard that joke from Pastor about a dozen times a dozen? These are old jokes for new money. That's what we're doing all the time, just trying to recycle what we can. But it's my mother's birthday. I won't tell you what number. She can tell you if she wants. And I was looking forward to being here on a Sunday, but definitely thankful to have the chance to be with my brother on our mother's birthday. And she is a force in our lives for good. Raised us in New York City with faithfulness and passion for God. And in difficult circumstances, prayed us all the way to his purpose. Amen. So to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Thank God for his mercy. And Sister Sharon Karacha gets an assist because she wasn't just praying for all the Karachas running around here, but she was praying for the Linders. I'm sure at times we were unlovable. She'll tell you where the bodies are buried. But many times in my life, Sister Sharon Karacha has come along and many times and demonstrated that she had been praying for me and encouraged me. So we just love the family of God, love one another. Don't get to come here on Sundays because I work weekends. Just about every single weekend. But it is good to be in the presence of the Lord. Why don't you stand with me? I do want to say thank you to the Cravens and to Pastor Brian. These folks came to Reynoldsburg a few weeks ago at different times and ministered powerfully, and they blessed us. So thank you for sending some help. It's good to have them. We didn't show them places to live. We don't do like you all do. We let people visit and go home. Whatever.
Bring it.
My own mother lives here. My daughter lives here. I don't know where to live anymore. I just feel like I'm...
There's room at the crawl.
What would you say, Sister Tia? Is this the place to be? I guess so. You look happy. I wasn't going to do this from the pulpit, but Brother Nathan, we pray for you. And if you're not kind to Emily, we will kill you. Not us. We'll get people to do it because we want our hands to stay clean. We're in the ministry. I got some friends around here who would help me out.
Hey.
God bless Brother Nathan. And his love for God. Pray for Brother Nathan. You don't want anything bad to happen to him. For you that are guests, this really good man has proposed to my daughter, who is on vacation today. And we appreciate Brother Nathan. Hebrews 12:3. I want to be a blessing today. And we may sing, we may preach, we may take another offering. We just have a good time. So they're just chuckling when you talk about more money. Hebrews 12:3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your own minds, in your minds. Just think of him. Just think of Jesus, who endured so much for us. Amen. I realize that for the last few weeks, you can't have a message here without the word destiny. And so I'm going to preach today, no Jesus, no destiny. Would you just worship with me for a minute? You can be seated. Jesus, near the cross. Near the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross, oh, be my glory the river. One last time. Oh, in the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my rest beyond the river. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. We're not just going to focus on that miracle and that revelation on Easter Sunday. Amen. We're going to live for the Lord. We're going to follow him. He endured so much for our salvation, our redemption. He suffered and died so that we could be redeemed. Amen. We sing, oh, the blood of Jesus. We sing, what can wash away my sins? We sing, the blood still works. And over and over and over in our hearts, there is this revelation. And today I will express it this way. Destiny does not come easy. Destiny does not come without a price. Destiny does not come without something supernatural. You can have ordinary, you can have average, you can have something that looks like life but has no bearing on eternal life. But if you want to experience something that has eternal life completely within it, you need Jesus Christ to transform your heart. The writer who wrote Hebrews, he's talking about the things that are important in the Christian life. He tells us that we will need to lay aside every weight, that the sin which does so easily beset us. Some would say that's pride, and everyone is absolutely beset with the challenge of pride, or it may be individual things that we confront in our walk with God. But he's telling us, run with patience the race that is set before us. And in the context of reaching for what God has for your life, he says this: looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's trying to weave within our understanding. You can pursue God's purpose, but you cannot do it in your own strength. Have you figured that out already? You cannot do it because of your family background. You cannot do it because how much or how little is in the bank. You cannot do it. Please do not cheapen grace, redemption, salvation, and say, I'm good enough for God. You'll never be good enough for God. Don't cheapen Calvary by saying you don't know who my family is. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how much I've sacrificed. Don't you belittle what has happened. By the great power of Almighty God. He knew no sin, yet he became sin. He paid a debt he did not owe so that I could be set free. Glory to God. Lay aside the weight. Lay aside the sin. Run with patience. And if you read into what he's saying, you're going to understand very quickly in the Christian life, I can't do this on my own. I don't know if I have what it takes. I'm not sure my mind is right. I'm not sure my emotions are going to line up the way they need to line up. But you need to understand, you don't have to do it by yourself. You don't have to be an intellectual. No problem with being an intellectual. You don't have to be wealthy. No problem with being wealthy, but you do have to have Jesus Christ. You have to know him for yourself. You have to walk with him. You have to open up your heart and say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Repent of your sins. Be baptized in Jesus' name. Be filled with his spirit, and then walk with him. There will be no destiny without Jesus. There will be so many seasons in your life where you will have the opportunity to focus on something else besides him. So many circumstances that will begin to work against your resolve to live for God, to follow God. And yet there is this command from the scripture that we live a life worthy of our calling because we have been called by God. Can I camp out there just for a moment and say to you, whether it's your first service or you've been coming here now for 20, 30, 40 years and beyond, you were not called by a pastor or a denomination or even a friend that invited you. You were called by the very God that created you. Would you step out of the crowd? Would you step out of the mundane? Would you step out of the normal and the ordinary? And would you let me baptize you with my Holy Spirit and lift you up and do something with your hands you could never do on your own? Do something with your feet you could never do on your own. Do something with your mind and your heart that you could never do on your own. When that begins to fill your mind and heart, you start saying, oh God, I want to walk with you. I want to do your will. If you're going to live this way, follow the leader. We're not going to do Simon Says or anything like that. We try to do Jesus Says, but not everybody goes with that. We like to work some of the principles even of the Word of God in a way that just sort of suits our comfort and our convenience. We need to be very careful that we don't just say, Lord, if it's your will, I want it. If it's your purpose, I want it. Why should we follow the leader? Even the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, because somewhere in that attitude is a humility that says, I know I need the Lord. I know his grace is sufficient for my life. I know he'll help me. I know he'll give me strength and wisdom. I know I cannot be what he wants me to be. If I do it on my own, I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. I know it seems like the call of God is overwhelming. It's only overwhelming if you do it on your own. It's only overwhelming if you try to do it by might and by power and by physical strength. But if you wake up every day and say, not by might and not by power, but by thy spirit, by thy help, grace. Oh God, I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. I'm walking with a God that'll lift me up when I'm down. I'm calling on his name. I'm reaching for a strength that comes from above. The challenge for every child of God is to live your life in such a manner. You know why a reverence for God is a good thing? You know why a reverence for God is a good thing? Because a reverence for God will produce confidence. You'll walk around saying, I'm not living a double life. I'm not one thing on Sunday and something else on Monday. I'm not one thing when pastor's around and something else when my friends are around. If you have reverence for God, in other words, if you say, he's with me in the morning, he's with me at work, he's with me at home, he's with me by myself. If you start thinking about Jesus that way, you'll have boldness and confidence, and you'll come boldly before his throne. And that's really the design, that we would boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Hallelujah. That we would boldly say. That's why you'll look at somebody and think they are nothing and have nothing. And they are moving with such confidence and assurance because they have linked up with Jesus Christ and they are walking with a humility that says it never was about me anyway. That's why the writer said, think about Jesus. Just think about Jesus. Think about how he suffered for you. Think about how he died for you. Think about what he did to affect your redemption. Focus up on him. We used to say it this way. Keep your mind on Jesus and let's have church. How about keep your mind on Jesus and let's go to work and let's deal with the family and let's deal with life deal issues. Let's deal with what's going on. If we get to the hospital, keep your mind on Jesus. If we go to the bank, keep your mind on Jesus. If they foreclose on our home, keep your mind on Jesus. It's so simple. He lived. He died. He rose again on high. So he's getting riled up. And it's not even Easter Sunday. But it's not just for Easter Sunday. Now, maybe I'm practicing so I could preach this Easter Sunday. You'll have to figure it out. Don't give in to some way of living life. Don't let fear begin to be what governs the way you live your life. Don't let intimidation and even the things said about you or to you by things, people around you and people that look at your mistakes and look at your track record and they start labeling you in certain ways. Don't even let the spirit of this age and the lawlessness, the way that people just say, I'll do what I want to do. I just got to do what I got to do. That's a real brilliant thing to grab a hold of. But don't let that grab a hold of you. Don't start saying, well, I just felt like I had to do that. I just come over to Brother Ray and punch him, and I just felt like I had to do that. That's no way to live. If I did anything even remotely negative to Brother Ray, all of you would just hurt me. You love him that much. But don't let something begin to fashion your life in such a manner where your thoughts are governed by a focus that truly isn't aligned with God. That's what he was saying in Hebrews. He was saying, you have to think about Jesus. Destiny does not come into your life, and destiny does not roll in such a manner where it's eternal and effective and produces the fruit that God has designed you to fruit. It does not ever happen when we borrow some philosophy from the world and some spirit of the age and we just do what we feel like doing. It comes to the life that knows how to get in God's presence, not just once in a while, but praying without ceasing and worshiping with their life and their heart. There's something that today, in the name of Jesus, you can break through. You started blending every philosophy with the word of God. I'm telling you, you need to let God be true and every man a liar and say, I gotta walk with Jesus. I gotta do something for Jesus. I gotta live for Jesus. You know what happens is because literally this requires living by faith, and because we can't explain everything that God's doing in our lives, we start trying to explain it. And that's where, I'm not saying you shouldn't be ready to give an answer to everyone that asketh you of the hope that lieth within you, but you should not be insecure to say, well, I really don't know the answer to that one, but I do trust Jesus. See, that didn't... I'm not sure I can explain that, but I can tell you this. He healed me. He delivered me. He put our family back together. He gave me peace in the midst of the storm. He rose me up, or raised me up. He gave me wisdom. I didn't even know where it was coming from, but I knew what to say. I knew what to do. I knew how to move forward. I gotta tell you, it wasn't even my friends. It was Jesus. Don't be ashamed. If we had testimony time right here, every life that looks to you like a life of victory is a life that has learned to lean on Jesus. He endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself. Pilate tried to give the people an out, but they didn't want it. They kept saying, we'll take Barabbas. You can have Jesus. What a horrible thing to reject Jesus and take some worldly substitute. Destiny will come to you and be formed in a very hostile environment. There will be dramatic moments of decisions and choices, and the choice won't be that complicated. You got to decide, do I want God's will or do I want what I want? Do I want Jesus to be captain of my vessel, or do I just want to go with what feels good? That's a hostile environment, and people are talking and people are saying things and your emotions are battling, but you got to say, I remember Jesus. Amen. Because there's no destiny without Jesus. It's not going to be easy. I'm just going to wait there for an amen. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be trouble-free. Even Brother Mark gets up here so good-looking, has hair. It's an automatic, you're good-looking if you have hair. Leads you in worship, and you be careful. You be careful that you think someone else has something that you can't possess. They must be smarter than me. They must have greater understanding than me. They must have a better family than me. And these things, absolutely, there's some differences in how we were raised and what we came through and what we're dealing with right now. But the thing, and it's not a thing, the one, everybody say the one that really is the equalizer for every one of us. It's the one whose blood covers every one of us. It's the one whose spirit fills every one of us. I don't have to be ashamed to tell you, no matter where you came from, you can be something for God. No matter what you've done, you can do something for God. No matter what you've been through, you can be something for God. No matter what has gone on up until a few moments ago, you can rise above. Because if you just think about Jesus, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes, we are healed. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He died for us. He got through it all. And we have victory because of him. Don't let living for God become about something else than Jesus. When you don't feel like praying, you need to get focused on Jesus again. When you don't feel like giving, you need to get your mind back on Jesus. When you don't feel like worshiping, you need to get your mind back on Jesus. When you're desperate to satisfy the appetites of this carnal nature, that doesn't make you some rank sinner, but the choice is so very critical. You need to get your mind on something besides what your flesh wants, something besides the desires that are warring within you, trying to get you to move away from God's will. You need to get your mind on Jesus. It's not so hard if we will draw nigh unto him. I love you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I've got to have you, Jesus. If we will draw nigh unto him, he will draw nigh unto us. Think about his love. Think about his mercy. Think about his power. Never believe that you can make it without Jesus Christ. We know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. A lamb without blemish and without spot. Please know that at Calvary, everything that God wanted to do for mankind was put on the line. At the crucifixion, everything that God desired to do in the life of every man, woman, boy, and girl was placed on the line. And when they placed him in the tomb, everything about what he had promised, about crushing that serpent's head, go all the way back to Genesis and see the plan unfold. And when he's laying in the tomb, everything about what he wants to do is now laying on the line. And can he come through with a stone rolling away like he said that he would? Can he literally rebuild this temple in three? If you destroy it, you give it just 3 days and I will build it again. He was talking about something they didn't understand. And everything's on the line. Destiny for all mankind is on the line. And we've just got a few days to work it all out. But I don't know what you think about, how you imagine in your mind. But let's feel a rumbling. Let's see a bright light shine. Let's look at that tomb and say it's empty. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive forevermore. I know if I had some special effects and some video depicting that, I think you'd probably just dance and run and leap and jump and peel the paint off the walls. But that's not where the story ends. The reason why Christians get excited about the resurrection. Two main reasons that I'll just speak on behalf of all Christians. Number one, if the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you. I'm going to give you three. I'm going to add a bonus. It will also quicken your mortal body. You ever think this world has done nothing for you but harm and hurt and difficulty? You ought to just start thinking about Jesus. Up from the grave he arose. He's alive. And they told me in that Bible, if the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in me, it shall also quicken my mortal body. And I'm going to rise to meet him in the air. I know I heard you talk about it a few moments ago. It's like a brochure. I'm getting ready to walk on streets of gold. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready to experience eternity with Jesus Christ. It will never get so bad down here that the rapture is canceled. It'll never be canceled because he's going to come at the last trump. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Woo! That's reason number one. Let's go to two. Number two, if he's not risen from the dead, then our faith is in vain. Who's got one of those tithe and offering envelopes? You didn't give it up before. I don't know why you didn't give it up, but you still have it. It's in your Bible for next week or something. Would you have it? Would you wave it? Nobody with a tithe and offering envelope. Nobody planning on giving next week or even at the end of the service because God touched you. Anybody. Nobody keeps them in your Bible because you're just that excited about giving. Thank you very much, Brother Craven. That's a good one in your column. I don't know. Did you get it from yourself? You had somebody borrow it? What would it mean And giving, I just refer to because it sort of hits close to home. You know, you could spend your money on a lot of stuff. You know, you could spend your time on a lot of stuff. You know, you could do all kinds of things with your talent. But faith enters into the heart of someone who says, not just a little bit, but you are Lord of all my life. And our faith is in vain if Jesus can't get over a little stone and a little death, but he rose again. Our giving counts. Our worship counts. Our service counts. Our dedication counts. Our suffering with a good attitude, it counts. Because next week, fill that out. Fill that out. Add zeros to everything just behind a number. It doesn't matter what the number is, but add a bunch of zeros to it. Trust God for a miracle. I hope somebody walks in here in the next few days and just gives the whole 50,000. Wouldn't that be neat? That wouldn't let you off the hook. You'd match the 50,000 and 10 years would come off the mortgage. Or maybe more. I'm not an economist or a mathematician or an accountant or even a Presbyterian. All the smart people. Thank you. They will be carting me off the platform any second now. But there's a third reason. And this one just is kind of, it's a little more just real life. But it's just where we live sometimes. Think about a Savior who even death couldn't stop him, who even hell couldn't stop him. Think about a Savior who was able, even in the midst of the greatest trial of his life, he wasn't busy acting bitter, acting hurtful, having grudges, deciding, I'm going to take care of all these people. He said, forgive them, for they know not what to do. He said to the one on the left and the one on the right who did not deserve what he was saying, he said, this day, and we're still trying to figure out how he's Jesus. He can do whatever he wants to redeem, to deliver, to set free, to grant pardon, to grant mercy. And the reason why that third reason is so important is because you can go through anything believing on Jesus. You can live through anything believing on Jesus. You can work through anything believing on Jesus. Your destiny is not DOA. You just need Jesus. Your destiny is not in the tank. You just need Jesus. Let's stand together. I know that's a very short sermon. I apologize, and you don't need to get upset with Pastor and the 87 minutes he's going to take next week. You don't need to do that. I'm going to tell him at home, when I'm away, I preach short because they pray more. If you people pray more, I'd preach short. We'll try that next week, see if they don't run me off, okay? Listen, I hope it's not so simple that you say, well, that was cute, but that doesn't work. Friday, it just so happens this lady has the first name of my mom, Carmen. Friday, giving the service for Sister Carmen and going through that funeral and taking her to the graveside and thinking about the last couple of weeks, cancer had so eviscerated her body. Just a short time, things unraveled in so much pain in every part of her body. 72, and they had put her on oxycodone, and there were effects from that. I'm not blaming medicine, I'm just saying things unraveled so quickly. And standing at that casket, you'd almost think cancer wins again. If you start calibrating the way the world calibrates, say, oh, another one. People walk around, I hate that C word. Come on. Why don't you replace that C word with a Jesus Christ paid it all. Jesus Christ suffered and died. About 29 years ago, she wasn't serving the Lord. Her son took his own life. She was so inconsolable, shut up in her home. No one could talk to her. And her mother said, here is your daddy's Bible. Whenever you're ready to get out of here, you read that. Inconsolable, driven to despair, loss of a son. They said a few days later, she was all dressed up. She went to the Pentecostal church for the first time that I know of. Got there so early, church hadn't even started, and people weren't there, but there was somebody that lived over the church, had to yell down and say, it doesn't start for a couple more hours, but we can let you come in and wait. She came in and waited. God began to work within a few days, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Right on time. In the midst of her despair, her journey with Jesus started right on time with a yes, Lord, have your way in my life. But I'm amazed. About 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, we started visiting her in her home because it was just obvious things were happening. The second to last time I was there, I felt so strongly we should just serve communion in this house and just serve her family, her neighbor. Then we got there the next time, and here come her neighbors and family members, and we're going to serve, honor the Lord with Sister Carmen. This is on Tuesday. The Spirit of the Lord filled that room. Wednesday, they go to the doctor. He says, there's nothing we can do. Can't do anything for this pain. Can't offer you any hope. Friday, we're standing around the bedside late at night, early Saturday morning. She's gone. He started her out right on time, and he finished right on time. I know sometimes we have loved ones that endure prolonged. I don't want to get, I think the Lord knows what he's doing every single time. But I couldn't help but stand there and say, Jesus, cancer did not win because she's not undergoing months and months and months and months and months of chemo. She's not enduring months and months and months and months and maybe years of pain ravaging her body. Lord, just right on time, you said, that's all for my sister. I got something better for her. I got, because your ultimate destiny is not even fruitfulness on earth. It's a city. It's a city. It's a city. It's a city whose builder and maker is God. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you, destiny is coming through Jesus Christ. So I say to you, hope I haven't taken too long. I'm telling you, there's no other way to live but through Jesus, and there's no other way to die but through Jesus. If the doctor has put a pronouncement on you, terminal, in a few moments I want you to come to this altar and say, Lord, if you heal me, great. If you take me to heaven, great. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Lord, you know what's needful for my family. You know what's needful for the work you've called me to do. But I put my trust in you. There's no other way to live. There's no other way to die Maybe some. I don't know why I'm walking down this street. You maybe not have told anyone what you've been feeling in your body the last few weeks and months. Maybe you're afraid to go to the doctor. You don't know what the doctor's going to say. And you've just been, you ought to come up to this altar and say, I know you can heal me. And we're not fatalistic people, but I don't have trust in God just till I get sick. We have trust in God when we're well and when we're sick, when we have perfect health and when our health is in trouble, when our life is going well or when our life is in trouble. The answer is always in Jesus. So we're going to repent of our sins. I feel like God will fill you with the Holy Ghost today if you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost. And if you'll come when the church comes, lift your hands after we've repented. Just say, Lord, I ask you to forgive my sins, and I believe you have. But now would you fill me with your Spirit? You'll just start worshiping him, and you'll start speaking in another language as the Spirit fills your heart, gives you the ability to do that. This is the Holy Ghost, and it's evidenced by speaking in other tongues. God wants to do that for you. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, you don't sign a card to get in Christ. You don't join a church to get in Christ. He said, as many as you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. No destiny without Jesus. You need to get to that baptistry today and say, I've never been baptized in Jesus' name. I don't remember them putting me down in the water and saying in Jesus' name, but I need Christ if I'm going to have a destiny. I need Jesus if my family is going to know the grace and peace of God in a way that's supernatural and eternal. Help me be baptized today. Why not? Had two young ladies, 17 years old, on their 17th birthday, got baptized in Jesus' name 2 weeks ago. Isn't that cool? Twin girls. Isn't that cool? You can be baptized today. I like the younger twin better because I'm the younger twin, but God is no respecter of persons. He loves them both equal. That's nice. It's a great day. Let Jesus have his way in your life. So let's start with repentance. I'm going to pray a prayer. You find your own way of repenting. Lord Jesus, I want to live for you. I want you to forgive me my sins. Anything I've been doing that's not going your direction, not pleasing you. I love what was said today. When coming forward is about pleasing God. I think that's awesome. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I want to please you. I want to walk with you. I want to turn from things that don't honor you and want to walk in a way that pleases you. I know you died for me. I know you have a plan for my life. I know eternity is waiting, but I also know fruitfulness and a wonderful life of abundant life and purpose is waiting for me too. So I want to start that today by living for you. God, forgive me of things I thought I shouldn't have thought. Forgive me of things I've said I shouldn't have said. Forgive me of hatred and malice and any lack of forgiveness, any lack of discretion, any lack of wisdom. Forgive me, oh God. Lord, if I've just been trying to get things done my own way without asking you, without seeking you, forgive me, wash me, purify me, make me clean. That's a good one to ask God for. Make me clean. Why? Because he said, if we confess our sins, if we confess them, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You want to be clean? Just confess your sin. Lord, forgive me of this. Forgive me of that. I shouldn't have said that. Forgive me. Shouldn't have done that. Forgive me. He's going to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Now lift your hands and lift your voice and start thanking him. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your mercy. Thank somebody. Cry out with a voice of thanksgiving. I have a Savior. Now, I don't know if this is the way you do it, but run to this altar or move quickly to this altar and boldly ask for whatever you need. Just come, just come, just come and boldly ask for whatever you need. In the name of Jesus, healing for that back. In the name of Jesus, strength for that family. In the name of Jesus, deliverance for that life. In the name of Jesus, deliverance from that disease. That's it. Come boldly. Come boldly. Let somebody pray with you.